But while you're turning there, let me say this. We started last week on this particular message. I did get through, I think I got through the introduction, but I'm not really sure. We'll have a little bit of the introduction with this, but to set us in the right perspective of what we're talking about. But I think the Bible is very clear on what this verse, particular verse, is talking about. Now, if you look in the Bible, you're going to find different things that affect different areas of our life. You're going to find that in Corinthians, it was a church. He was writing this letter to a church. This church seemingly got nothing right. Every time he turned around, Paul was having to write to them about this and about that and about the other, and how he was to correct those things and all this. Now, he was not the pastor there. But this was a letter written to him, written to this church, and he was telling them how to correct the problem that they were going through. Now, they didn't see the problem as a problem, but the pastor saw it as a problem. And so he was in contact with Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was always willing to help God's people. And so this was a letter written to them telling them about different things in their life. So in the first part of chapter 6, he talks about all the difficulties that you'll encounter as a Christian in this life. He, over and over again, he goes through everything in the world. When I read those things, I saw, good night. But he was talking about how that we have to die to the things that are not of God in our life. Now, what does that mean? Well, this doesn't affect me. In other words, drinking doesn't affect me. Okay, so I'm dead to drinking. I'm dead to dope. I'm dead to a lot of things in this world. I'm alive unto Christ. In other words, when I see the Bible, what it says, I say, yes, sir, and I'm for it. I was thinking this morning, crossing the little yard out there, every once in a while, the tree didn't make very many cons this year. And so you made a few, but every week when we come, I find a few pecans out there in the tree. So when I'm going back and forth, I pick up a few pecans and I stick them in my pocket. And so I got to thinking this morning, I was coming across there. You say, you preachers, you're thinking a funny ram. Yeah, we do. But I got to thinking about the Lord's day. It's His day, it's not my day. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious crowd, said that you couldn't do nothing on the Sabbath. You know, you could not do nothing. They didn't even want you to help somebody out of the ditch on the Sabbath day because it was so holy, or what they said it was holy. And yet they could do anything they wanted to anytime they got ready, but they could blame anybody in the world for what they did. So I got to thinking, I thought, well, is picking up pecans on Sunday, am I supposed to be doing that? And before I got over here to the church house, I got to thinking, well, if it is, if God didn't want me to pick up pecans on Sunday, and I'm not talking about a sack of pecans, I'm talking about three or four. But I got to thinking, what would you say about that? You're just thinking, you're probably, well, who knows, who cares, whatever. Well, He cares. He knows everything about you. He watches you all the time. He knows your thoughts. He knows your attitudes. He knows all those things. Some of you people that don't know me have seen me for the first time. I think, boy, that's a weird guy. God knows that. Amen. You better watch it now. He knows that. And so I thought to myself, if that's true, Brother Pruitt, I'd go over and throw them four or five pecans back out there in the yard and say, Lord, forgive me. You say, now that's absurd. That's stupid to think like that. No, it ain't, because there is a God in heaven that means everything He says in His book, okay? He cannot bless you if you're not willing to do what He tells you to do. So you want the blessings of God, but you want to do your own thing. Amen. Well, God has let you. Listen, I have so much fun as a Christian, I can't hardly stand it. Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. I couldn't take no more of it. You know, I can look at the couples in our church. I can look at the different couples in our church. And I wake up at night and I laugh when I think about Lewis and Barbara, and I think about Brother Al and Ms. Effie, and I think about different ones in our church, Brother Pruitt and his wife. I think about those things, and I laugh because they're personalities that God has placed in this place that nobody else could do that. Amen? And we enjoy each other. We enjoy each other. We have a good time together. Amen. I can kid them. You know, last night after Lewis and Miss Barbara was over at the house for a little while after they left and went home, I went on and kissed my wife. I said, thank God you're my wife. Amen. Now, you know how she took it? Just like she's taking it now. You say, why? Because she probably says the same thing about us. Dear God, Miss Gloria has to put up with Brother Billy. Amen. What a glorious blessing that woman has. Amen. So with that being said, you have the church here is going through difficult times, and the preacher says, hey, you can't do that. According to the Bible, you can't do that. And he wrote him a letter, and he told him about that. So he goes through all the difficulties we have as a Christian. Young man got saved, went to the pastor, and he said, thank God, preacher, all my troubles is over. And the preacher said, I didn't have guts enough to tell him his trouble's just starting. You say, why? Because you have the old sin nature. There's nothing to rebut that. Okay? When you get saved, you get the new sin nature. You get the new man in your life against the old sin nature in your life, and the new man in your life is going to fight against the old nature of you, and you're going to have problems all the time. Okay? So you Christians think you've got it made. You ain't got it made. Now you're saved. If you're born from above, if you're born of the Spirit of God, you're saved, and you'll never lose that. You'll always have that. But I'm going to tell you, it's a fight from the beginning to the end as a Christian. And you must accept that. So where does the peace come from? It comes from God. It does not come from the devil. You know before you, watch me, you know before you sin, you're wrong. You say, who did that? The Holy Spirit. Why did he do that? Because he knows sin will destroy your life. That's what he knows. Amen. Brother Roloff said, boy, I'll be glad to go to heaven. There'll be no more sin there. Amen. That's the truth. Why do you talk about sin? That's the problem. That's the problem. What's wrong with our church today? Sin. See? Amen, Ms. Jackson. You're getting better. Amen. Jane kind of dropped off a little bit. She kind of, amen. But listen, amen means I agree with that. Is it true? Is it in the Bible or is it not? Amen. There you go. There you are. Amen. All right, so let's look at verse 16, and by the way, 16 is probably the foundation verse for what I'm going to speak on, okay? Chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. That means he lives in me. Okay, the Spirit of God, when I got born again, the Spirit of God came into my life. He's never left. I can quench him. I can grieve him. I can push him to the side. I cannot do what he says. But he's still there. He's in his redeemed humanity, okay? So I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have strength. Somebody said, well, I can't quit drinking. I can't quit smoking. Listen, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost in you is supernatural. Now, don't tell me, like this bird brain on TV says, it's a disease. It's a disease. No, it's not a disease. It's sin. Now, I know he's not going to get up and say it's sin. I understand all of that. But I'm telling you what. He tells me to correct that among you. It is sin. It is not a disease. Amen. Yes, I have people every once in a while say, well, you just don't know. You never did smoke. Hallelujah for that. Well, you just don't know. Listen, I never did drink. Well, hallelujah for that. But I'm going to tell you one thing. My mother and daddy, when I was 5 years old, left me in a house by myself for days on end while they was at a beer joint drinking booze. Now, buddy, how do you get anything good out of that? I had a 15-year-old uncle that came by and picked us up and got our clothes and took us home to Grandma's house and took care of us for several years because of people that don't care about nothing but themselves. Now, you excuse me, that was free, okay? I ain't charged a dime for that, but I know what I'm talking about. And so it destroys people. It destroys lives. It is sin. People sitting in the church, it's sin. Amen. So notice what he says here, the temple of the living God, as God hath said. Now watch me now. We're going to talk about promises that we have in the Bible, okay? Now, these promises do not apply to somebody that's never been born again. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, these promises here does not abide. That's not for you, but you can get born again, amen? And then you have all these promises. Look what it says. God said, I will dwell in them. Now, I already talked about that. The Bible teaches that God, the Holy Ghost of God, is in my redeemed humanity. You say, but I don't understand that. Neither do I. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I know it's true. Amen. I get so sick and tired of him telling me what's wrong with me. I just get over one hump, Zelma, and here he comes up with something else wrong in my life. And that's going to happen until I'm dead in the grave or with him. You say, why? I'm scared a lot of times when we have visitors. Did you know, are you really sorry that you're sorry? My wife said, don't say that. You're sorry. If left to the good and the bad, you'll always choose the bad. Left to yourself, you'll always choose the bad. You know, it's fun. It's having so much fun. Okay? Fun will kill you. Fun will get you in trouble. You better watch it. God will protect you. Watch me. What is a, back in my day when I was a little boy, we had a pot-bellied stove in the middle of the house. That was all we had. I remember talking about my brother who's kind of, you know, he never did catch on quick. Okay? He got saved. He come down here one time and we preached and he got saved. Amen. And before he got saved, he said, "Do you think I'm saved?" I said, "No." He said, "I don't either. I need to be saved." And he got saved. Amen. But I remember him. I remember mother telling him, "Don't touch that stove. It's hot." You know what he did? He went over and touched that stove. Burnt the fool out of his fingers. All right, you know what God's telling you? You dabble in sin, and you're going to get burned. You may repent, but the scar is going to stay there. And you'll remember it every time you see it. God is looking out for His people. When we talk about God loves you, He loves you truly. And you don't take care of your children, you know what's going to happen to them? The world is. You take care of your children. God, why? Because you love them. Because you love them. Amen. So notice what this verse said. He said, "I will dwell in them." That don't mean He takes a weekend off. He's there. Notice He said the next thing, "and walk in them." That means your everyday experiences. Amen. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, riding a horse, riding a bulldozer, working in the office, on the computer, He's there. He will go with you everywhere you go. In fact, it says you need to acknowledge the fact that He is with you. It'll cut out a lot of stuff in your life. Cut out a lot of junk. Amen. So I will walk in them, and I will be their God. Amen. He takes us into His family, and they shall be my people. He adopts us into His family. How did you get in the family you're in? You got born into it, right? That's how you got in there. How come your name's like it is? What's your mother and daddy's name? Amen. Well, how do you get in the family of God? How do you get called a Christian? What is a Christian? Christians didn't call themselves Christians. The world called them Christians. They said it's just like Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Well, I don't want to be like Jesus. Well, you're not Him. You say, why? Because He is perfect. He had to answer to every question. God will make you like Himself. You'll go to thinking like Him. Why does the Bible say, "Let this man be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus"? Why does it say that? Won't you think like God? You know what you're doing? Most of your life you're thinking like the devil. Amen. Okay, I can see I'm enjoying this much more than you are. Amen. "They shall be my people. Wherefore," or because of that, "come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you." What does that mean? It means He won't receive you as long as you hang on to the world. You can't have the world's hand in one hand and Christ's hand in the other hand and think you can do anything right. Okay? And people will die, close friends of yours, family members of yours, they'll die and go to hell because you're not living what God wants you to live. What is God's purpose for you? What is God's purpose? Okay? Let's just say you come down here to the altar and you kneel down here and truly with a broken heart you ask God to raise you up and save you and wash away your sins. Suppose that happens, okay? If it is going to heaven is what it's all about. It's not about going to heaven, people. No. Because if you was going to heaven when you got saved, a big old angel would have come up behind you and hit you in the head with a 20-pound sledgehammer and sent you on. Amen. Because you're getting in now. Amen. No. No, He wants you to get up. He wants you to walk with Him, and He's in you so that somebody else can be born of the Spirit of God. You know what's wrong with our young generation right now? The parents have let them down. They haven't kept them in church. They haven't tried anything. Why do people quit church when something goes wrong in their life? You lose your job. Well, you go off and sob and mold yourself. You know what? We have a supernatural God. A guy came to the preacher one time and he said to the preacher, "Listen, I want you to pray for me that they'll give me some money. I can't hardly support my family. And I need a raise." But they said they won't do it. So he said, "Would y'all pray for that?" So the preacher said, "Yeah." So the church all got together and they prayed for him. 2 or 3 weeks later, they gave him a huge raise. A huge raise. Well, they already told him they wasn't going to. So the guy got, after that, he got prosperous and he got another big raise. But his tithes kept dropping off. Preacher called all of them together one Sunday night and he said, "Listen, we're going to quit prayer. We're going to pray that brother so-and-so loses this job and gets back down to the original job because he tithed when he had that one." Well, what are you doing? The Bible says if you be faithful over little, you'll be faithful over a lot. If you're not faithful over little, you won't be faithful over a lot. And the boy was hanging on to money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not bad. It's the love of it. So God blesses you, so what do? You cut him short. Well, guess what? The blessings is going down. And he wouldn't be God if he didn't do that, okay? Because he's holy and he's righteous and he's pure. He's not going to put up with your silliness, amen? If you're a child of God and you're not doing right, you better watch out. The woodshed's right out back, amen? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now watch this. This is the text verse. Listen to this now. Having therefore, okay, therefore means what? What's he talking about having therefore? Having these promises, which he's already dictated and given to us. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit in perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I had an old preacher ask me when I first surrendered the ministry. He said, are you afraid of God? And I said, well, no. Why would you be afraid of God? God loves me. Sure he does. You know those big old storms that come our way now, more frequent than ever? You know who's in control of that? You know the earth opens up, mountains blow up. You know who's in control of all that? Why would he do that? Because he wants to. He's God. He can do what he pleases. Why is America spiraling down? Listen, you better vote in November and you better vote right. Why are we spiraling down? We've lost all consciousness of what's moral and what's right. We've accepted that. We've accepted them. We've accepted a bunch of perverts up in Washington. We haven't relied on God. We haven't prayed. We haven't taught our children. We're not faithful to church. When I was a little boy, did you know what? I got a picture at home. I'm going to bring it up here. The most spiritual man I ever met. You want to see him? I'm going to bring him up here next week. If I don't forget. Somebody call me this week and remind me. Sitting on my little table by my chair. You know who he was? He's a little old guy about this tall. He owned Bailey's Hamburger Joints in Houston, Texas. Had six of them at one time. The greatest guy I ever knew. I'd get out of the car at the end of the church. Our Sunday school room was right on this end of the church. I'd get out of the car and walk into that long hallway that went down into our class, and I'd see him stick his head out the class door and see me coming, and he'd come skipping down the aisle, clapping his hands, glad to see me. He'd come up to me and love me. I was a teenager, man. Don't hug on me. He'd love me. He prayed for me all the time. He hauled us around. We was making fun of him behind his back. Well, he knew we was a bunch of knotheads. He knew we needed help. He was the most spiritual man that I've ever met, including my parents, including my preacher. You know why? Because what he had was so real that you could reach out and take it away from him. Listen, he sat right there on that second row with his arm around my wife. In his latter years, right before he died, he came to this church and heard this preacher preach, and he cried the whole time, and I could just feel and sense it in my heart. It's worth it! It's worth it! Life is not a bowl of jelly and Cheerios and all that bunch of mess. Life is difficult. Life is hard. Our children need us, and they need our help. We've got away from those things. We've talked about abortion. Well, that's a woman's choice. No, it ain't. The choice is way before that. But we've given them that leeway. It sounds good. No, it does not. It hurts the heart of God. Now, I got to get on with this thing. Amen. Y'all need to hurry up and listen now. The first thing I want to talk about, the promise, these promises. What are these promises? And I've gone over a lot of them. The first promise is divine indwelling. I'm not asking you to understand this because I don't understand it, okay? It's not like I'm trying to tell you you're a nitwit if you don't understand. I'm not trying to do that. Y'all excuse me. I'm a country preacher. I mean, I don't know a lot of the big words to impress you. So nitwit comes out every once in a while. I'm sorry. But listen to this. He says he lives in you. As a born-again believer, God lives in you. He's holy. He's righteous. He's the one that brings these storms. He's the one that gives the whirlwinds. He, God himself, is in the believer. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you better. I'm just trying to tell you better. We've already read the verse. Divine manifestation. He said, I'm going to reveal myself to you. every once in a while, I'm going to do something on the farm. Now, you can get out of the will of God quick on a farm. Now, I know you can get out of the will of God quick in a lot of things. I was chasing a bull the other day in my pickup. You say, what was you going to do with him if you caught him? Well, first of all, you can't catch him with a pickup. That's the first thing. Second thing is, if I could, what would I do with him? I was 2 miles from the house. What was I going to do, tie a rope on him and tie it to the grill of that truck? He'd have drug me to the river. Why was I doing that? God said, because you're stupid. There wasn't nothing I could do with it. But you know what he did? That bull made me so mad. I'll show him. Well, guess what? I stuck my truck. It took me a week and a half to get it out with a backhoe. I mean, I stuck it, honey. I was worried about water getting in the transmission. It was that bad. God said, you're supposed to be a preacher. You're supposed to be living right. You know, I wonder what he thought as I was driving him around that acreage as he's inside me. He kept telling me. This is dumb. I was mad at that stinking bull. If I get up close to him, that grill guard on the front, I'll mash him. Bull's still out there. Finally got my truck out. You think every once in a while we literally listen to God? Good grief. What's the matter with us? Amen. Divine manifestation. He will manifest himself in your life. You will know it. My grandson the other day got so much energy, it's unbelievable. Work all day on the farm, and when he's down with us and hunts half the night, hunting coons and coyotes, anything he can find. The other day he said, I got to kill something, Paul. I said, good grief, boy. Don't shoot a cow or something, amen. You know what he told me? He said, Paul, let's build a fire so we can talk around a campfire tonight. It was already 9 o'clock. I said, Logan, son, I'm so tired. Oh, he said, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I got a few questions I want to ask you. I just want to talk a little while, Paul. I said, okay. I had to get back dressed. I said, where are we going to build this fire? Now, watch me now. He said, up there where you have your altar that you built for prayer on the mountain. It's a rock altar, a great big old thing. It's bigger than this table here, big rocks up there, made a rock altar. I said, ain't that just like God? He brings that kid down here. He is not interested in drinking and boozing and all that stuff. He wants to hear his grandpa talk about the good old days and all that stuff. He wants to spend some time with his grandpa around a campfire. And you know what happened, Miss Jacqueline? First thing you know, we got to talk about God. You say, why? Because God's in me and God's in him. They like to communicate with each other. I told my wife, I said, man, that was just plumb good, Brother Pruitt. I mean, that boy was serious as a heart attack. I can't believe I got a grandson like that. I told the twins last night. I said, I'm so blessed to have you as my grandsons. Oh, Paul, what do you mean? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of. No, I said, I'm thinking when I was your age. And I compare you with what I was doing. I said, boy, you're a blessing. I'm proud of you. You say, why? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Because of the Word of God. You said it was you. No, it wasn't me. It was him that's in me that came out. And you know what I have? I got the blessings. Wow. You want your kids to do right? Then you do right. You don't want to do, follow the Holy Spirit of God. He will manifest himself in you. He covenants with you. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, our oldest boy was showing a calf in Brenham, Washington County Fair. And we were putting shoe polish on that stinking calf's hooves. And about every third time we touched her, she kicked one of us. And I wanted to kill her. And the boy, he was going to show her, so he wanted to take care of her. And we're taking care of this calf, getting it ready for the show. And my wife and daughter, she was a little old bitty thing, they went over, they asked if they could go over to the carnival over here and ride the Ferris wheel. And I said, well, yeah, sure. So they went over there and they were standing in line. And I don't know how many was there. When they got up to Christine and Gloria, the guy that was running the Ferris wheel said, now you can believe this, you can take this any way you want to, you can do whatever you want to. Both of them is beautiful anyhow. Amen. And so they got up there close to the guys running the Ferris wheels, and this is what he said. He said, it's such a blessing to have Christians ride this Ferris wheel. And my wife said to him, how do you know? How did you know? We didn't say anything. He said, it just seems to emit off of you. He said, now all those people out there, I could see you two were special. You say, I don't believe that. Do what you want to do with it, buddy. It happened. God is God. God touches people's lives because of the way we are and what we believe and what we stand for. Stand for what's right. Bless God. Amen. Divine acceptance. I will receive you, verse 17 says. Divine adoption. I will be your father and you shall be my sons and daughters. Amen. These promises do not apply to a Christian out of the will of God. They don't apply. How many times have you told your children to do something and they did right the opposite? Was you proud of them? Did you go along with them? Did you? Amen. You know what most children today need? They need the woodshed. Somebody said to me one time, well, what did you say to your children? I said, do it or you're in bad shape. I'll beat the living daylights out of you, boy. I whipped both of my boys and they're 16, 17 years old. You know why, Brother Pruitt? I told Dwayne he could not teach us. Can you believe Dwayne's going to teach somebody how to drive? Now, you that know him, I'm telling you. I mean, you could go, like, and throw his record out, driving record, and go out halfway to Brother Pruitt. He said, Daddy, I want to teach Steve how to drive. I said, no, you ain't. No, you ain't. No, no, no. Steve was studying to get his driver's license. We were in two separate cars over visiting a friend of ours. So they were going to go home and feed the calves and take care of business at home, feed the chickens and do all this stuff like that. Well, in a few seconds, we got a phone call. They had a wreck. When they got on our gravel road, which was only half a mile, Dwayne let Steve get under the wheel, and Steve got under the wheel. He said, boy, I can't believe Dwayne let me do that. I said, you got under the wheel, buddy. Don't blame Dwayne. You both are equal. That's why I beat the snot out of both of you. Amen. They went down that road, turned over, could have killed them all. The top of the car was down on the top of the seats. They got out. We came over, turned the car over, got it home and all that stuff. Got my paddle. When I was in high school, that's back when schools had something back then. When I was in high school, if you did something wrong, the teacher would take you down to the woodshed. There's a big old closet down there had all them paddles in there. You could pick your paddle. Amen. It was all the same. They all hurt the same. You know why you choose a paddle. The women didn't have to do it. The women teachers didn't have to do it. All they had to do was get a man to do it. They'd get a great big old guy weighed 300 pounds and let him give you the licks and everything like this. So, when I was raising my kids, when they got a big like this, I just made me a paddle like the good old days. Amen? So I gave Dwayne a whipping first. Broke the paddle. Headed for the back door. Stephen's in the rocking chair. He's rocking about 30 miles an hour, you know, in that rocking chair. He knows he's coming, you know. Daddy, where you going? I said, I'm going to get me another paddle. And you better pray that I don't kill you. You say, you're too hard, you're mean, you know, whatever. Listen. There's a boy up here in Waco, loves me to death. He loves me unreservedly. He's got three children that are living for God. His wife is a precious lady. People could all over this place could learn how to be a submissive wife by looking at Cheryl. Don't tell her I said that. But that's the truth. So I went out the door after a new paddle. My wife, when I came back in, she said, Stephen was rocking that chair, said he fell out of that chair on his knees. He said, oh, God, he's going to kill me. God, help me. So you know what happened, ladies? You all know what I'm talking about. My wife began to cold shoulder me. That was early in the afternoon. Even my little daughter began to cold shoulder. Oh, Dad, I am mean. And I'm ugly, and I'm harsh. So we went to bed that way. Somewhere around 10 o'clock at night, our room was black dark. Somebody came in that room, and I knew it. I could feel them. Those two boys came over, and they put their hand on my leg, and they said, Daddy, we want to tell you how sorry we are. True repentance, how sorry we were that we worried you and all of that. Let me tell you, can I tell you what happened? You see, when those boys accepted their punishment in a right way, God alleviated the pressure off of their lives, and they could go to bed, their sin had been paid. Do you know what's wrong with a lot of people in our church today? They don't realize. They don't realize. If you come to God in repentance, God forgives you of your sin. Did you know that you have a long list of sin? That it can be blotted out. That means there is no record of it after you confess your sin and ask God to forgive you. There's no record. It's over. You're the only one that remembers it. God doesn't. So he said here, a divine acceptance, he would receive you. And then divine adoption. How'd you get in the family of God? Well, you got born into it. Were you a Jew? No. No. You're an adopted Jew now. You're into the family of God. What a blessing. Did you know that God will accept you? Through faith and repentance, God will accept you. A woman told me one time, I can't get saved. I said, why is that? She said, you just don't know what I've done. And I said another thing too, I don't want to know what you've done. But there's a God in heaven that does know what you've done. He is willing to forgive you, to cleanse you, to do away with the old record if you'll just come to Him in saving faith. Now, I believe you have to get lost to get saved. Now, I didn't finish this, but I believe God's through. I'm going to give you this illustration. I'm finished. That was my first big point. I got two more big points. But anyhow, I got my pilot's license when I was a young man. And like most people, I think 85% of all the private plane crashes is pilot error. It's not the plane, it's a private error. And so I'd flown. I love to go to different little small airports that have Vista lights. Vista lights means that there's a light. There's lights on the runway. If you're on the right glad path, if you're too high, the lights are kind of a red color. If you get down on the glad path, they go back to white. They go back to white. If you get too low, they get red and redder and redder and redder, and then instruments go off in the airplane. But I love to go to all these small airports that had Vista lights. Now, not all of them had them, but I'd go to the ones that did, and I'd fly around Mahia and all up in there. Around. I didn't go to the big airports. I went to the little ones. And I was coming home one day, and I got about 3,000 feet. And I got to looking outside, and I got to thinking, man, Hearn, where I was going, was plowed fields all over the place over there. Got big plowed fields everywhere. And so I'm flying along. I look down, and there's a bunch of trees. And I said, there's something wrong here. No trees in Hearn. And these would look like pine trees or cedar trees. So I got to think about it. I'd been to flight school. I knew the radio. I knew all those things like this. But I'm just cruising around, just having a good time. That's what America's doing. We're just cruising around, taking it easy. No big deal. All of a sudden, I realized, Brother Al, I was lost. I was lost. I didn't have a clue where I was at. No way to find out. The only thing that I could do, and I knew it afterwards, after all this has happened, was I could have turned the radio on, which is not a radio like no, it's a radio to help you navigate the plane. But I panicked. I looked down. I had a quarter. I had a quarter of a tank of fuel. Didn't know where I was at. Didn't know how to get back. And I saw a blacktop road. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. You quit thinking right. I'll put this puppy down and hitchhike back to town, wherever the nearest town is. Brother Pruitt, I got sick throwing up. I was so nervous. I was so erratic. And I just turned that plane down. You cannot fly a plane past a certain point, speed-wise, without it coming apart. A lot of times people see these accidents, a wing came out or a tail came out or something like this here. And I turned that thing down, and I was doing near 180 miles an hour, and I can't, it's not supposed to exceed 120. I wanted to get her down. And so I turned the nose down and I was going. And in that process, this is what I said, Lord, help me. I can equate with Peter in the water when he was walking on the water and he started to sink. Lord, save me! And I said, Lord, help me. God, help me. And sure as I'm standing before you, it came to me in my thinking. I didn't hear a voice. It came to me in my thinking. I turned the radio on. I reached up and turned that radio on, and the radio said this, College Station, VOR. College Station, VOR. It's a little gauge there. You put the arrow right in the center. You put the little needle right in the center, and it'll take you right to College Station, VOR. I turned that plane and got it on that little arrow there and looked up, and I seen the tower that was addressing me in College Station. I flew to College Station. I landed in College Station. I was going to get fuel. There was nobody at the airport, the little private airport. There was nobody there. So I had to take off again. I had to fly to Hearn. But guess what? When I got up about 2,000 feet, 3,000 feet, there was a good tailwind. I believe God just kind of pushed me on to Hearn. But I'm going to tell you something, Miss Peggy, when I knew I was lost, I cried out to God. First of all, you can't do good enough to please God. You can't do it. But when I cried out to God, He answered my prayer. I really believe, Brother Adams, I believe that God saved me so I could be the pastor of this church. You say, I don't care what you surmise. God had a purpose for me. And even me being as stupid as I was, and if you're not born again, you're stupid because it's available to you. Stupid as I was, God began to move in on my soul. And I came home free. My instructor was 6'6", weighed 275 pounds. I pulled in the airport and went all the way down to the inn and parked way down. Normally you parked up here for the next student to fly. I went way down to the inn. He come walking down there and he was giggling and laughing. I said, I'm a little bitty toot, but I'm fixing to pile square on top of you, buddy, if you laugh one more time about what happened to me. He knew what had happened. He knew I'd gotten lost. I went down there to get the vomit and everything out of that little car plane before the next guy got in it. That's what I went down there to do, to clean it up. And when I said what I said, this is what he said. Would to God that I could get all of my pilots lost and come back safe like you did. Because he said that's the only thing that will change your life. Let me tell you something. Until you realize you're lost, I don't believe you can get saved. But when you do and you come to Christ, His arms are open. He paid it all. Amen. Praise God. Stand with me if you would. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. We're not going to have a pianist play this morning. It's going to give you just a couple of minutes. Whatever God said to you, maybe we'll come to the altar and pray. Maybe there's something not right in your life. If you can, you can do it. You can take care of it. God is always willing. He's always ready. He's always able. Whatever He says, I like to say, just do it. Whatever He says, just do it. Well, what will they think about me? Who cares? What does God think about you? What is God trying to get across to you? What is He trying to tell you? God loves you. He's not gonna allow you to just do anything.